Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stop It Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Yeah, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, that was Mitch Tischler, though. Just walked behind me. The one and only. He's here doing some stuff for Monumental Sports tonight. We're live at Wizards Draft HQ. War Room down below us. Press conference room, all that kind of stuff over yonder. Big old gigantic TV to watch the draft on for the media folks here. So they got a great setup here at the Wharf, and excited to be here and broadcasting live. Chase Hughes, before he gets to work tonight, will join us on set here at somewhere in the 6 o'clock hour. We will also talk to Shakir Austin in half an hour. But earlier today, before I came down here, was able to chat up my guy Kevin Pelton, ESPN.com. And that is today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
If there's a trade, we have to talk to Kevin Pelton. Those are the rules. ESPN.com, NBA writer who's been doing trade grades and so much more great analysis for ESPN for years. And it's our pleasure to have him back on the show. KP, what's up, my guy?
Nothing much. Yeah. Happy to be on call for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you're on call for people way more important than me, like the people that pay your paycheck. So I appreciate a little bit of time during a very, very busy time. Let's dive right in. Like, what do you give the Wizards for the Jordan Poole trade yesterday and why?
Yeah, I gave them a B+ on this one. I mean, you know, fundamentally, this is a trade that boils down to, would you rather have the 1 year left on CJ McCollum's contract or the 2 years left on Jordan Poole's contract? And I'd rather have the 1 year. I think if Jordan Poole didn't have substantial trade value after the season that he had last year, where he actually kind of did all the things I think that the Wizards were hoping that he would do when he got to Washington, when they included him in the Chris Paul trade, I don't think it was going to happen after next year either. You know, I think to rebuild his trade value, he's going to have to show what he can do in New Orleans, that he can be a part of a winning team and, you know, contribute in that way. And that, you know, the offensive stats that he puts up are not kind of just empty parts of a team that isn't really particularly going anywhere. And, you know, maybe he could have done that, particularly with more veterans. We did see the Wizards being more competitive once they got Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart in there. But I don't know that. The fact that those guys, you know, were able to make them successful in Poole alone doesn't necessarily reflects that well in his value either. So this way you get CJ McCollum, who's, you know, someone who is going to sort of be complementary to the Wizards' young talent for whatever period of time he is on the roster. And then, you know, either he's traded at the deadline or he's an expiring contract, and then the Wizards grab all this additional cap space for the summer of 2026, where, you know, there's going to be a lot more teams with cap space. It's not going to be a situation like this year where Brooklyn was able to extract a first round pick for taking on, you know, a not unreasonable Terrence Mann contract in another deal that happened yesterday, but still going to be in a position where they probably will have the most money on the board and be the team that other teams are calling when they need to dump contracts.
So B plus is good, depending on who or how you feel about your, you know, academics, but it's certainly a good trade grade. What would they have needed to do to get an A for you, if that's a fair question I can ask?
Get some positive draft return. I mean, they are giving up the number 40 pick in this year's draft. I don't think that's going to be, you know, a huge difference maker for the Wizards, given the first round picks that they have and the youth that they already have on their roster. But, you know, giving up number 40 for a future second rounder, the odds are, you know, not good necessarily that you're going to get a pick higher than that in the future. And I think the Wizards are okay with that. But, you know, if they had pulled this off without including that, then we're getting into the A range.
Got it. So when you look at this draft now, is there anybody in particular that, like, I think of like a Jeremiah Fears, obviously, at the point guard position directly, but even a guy like Ace Bailey, who's been mocked to the Wizards a lot, including by your ESPN colleagues, Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu,
like there's just more shots available? Like, is there someone that you think fits the Wizards now, and especially even better without Poole? Like, what direction do you, if you're the Wizards, are you hoping the board goes tonight to have someone available?
Yeah, I mean, I do think this potentially signals, you know, more likelihood that they go guard, because, you know, well, CJ McCollum is someone who is still capable of starting and, you know, probably will expect that is his role for whatever period of time he's on the roster. You know, he's clearly not part of your future in the way that Jordan Poole potentially was, given his age. So, you know, if it is Jeremiah Fears, I think that does make a lot of sense. Ace Bailey, it's a tough one for me to wrap my head around. He was so inefficient as a scorer at Rutgers. And one of the earliest draft truths I feel like I learned, you know, was with Adam Morrison in particular. And there's been a number of guys that I can think of since then. Johnny Davis would frankly be an example of this to scare off Wizards fans. You know, if you're making difficult shots in college, well, that shot making is impressive. The fact that you aren't able to get easy shots against college opposition is a huge red flag for your ability to do so at the NBA level, where you're going to need to, you know, unless you're Kevin Durant. And I think we have established, based on the combination of Ace Bailey's freshman season and the measurements that we saw at the combine, that he is not Kevin Durant, who was rightfully considered a unicorn when he came out of college. Like, it's going to be very difficult for you to score efficiently, subsisting primarily on mid-range jumpers off the dribble. So I do think, you know, there are situations where if Ace Bailey goes to the right team, that he can improve his shot selection, make good on the defensive potential that we did see last year at Rutgers, that I think was very exciting, and, you know, the obvious shot making skill, and become a good player. I think there's some comparisons to maybe Boston's two star players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown, in my projections, had basically the worst projection of any player who has been successful of all time. I mean, I think he was like 103 in the stats only rankings, and, you know, a little higher in the consensus version that also factors in where they are in that big board from not necessarily the mock draft, but the top 100 that Wu and Gavoni do, that sort of is more a clearer distillation of where they think on pure talent. But, you know, he dramatically outperformed that. Jason Tatum, like, I think people forget that at Duke, there was a lot of concern that he was going to be this, you know, low volume score, low percentage shooter based on what we saw from him. And both those guys went to a team in Boston that was veteran laden, where to play, they had to learn good habits and be role players for a period of time. So the thing that concerns me is when I hear reported, you know, forget about the workouts, I don't care about that, but hear reported that Ace Bailey wants to go to a situation where he can shoot as much as possible to develop as a star. That's not how you develop as a star. How you develop as a star is by developing good habits. So that's what would concern me with the Wizards specifically, although at some point there is a spot where Ace Bailey, the potential outweighs the risk.
Yeah, for sure. And they have good vets here, but if he is thinking he's going to come in and, you know, not learn from, like, hey, no, CJ, I got it. I just give me the ball and I'll shoot CJ McCollum and Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, then that's obviously less than ideal and is not going to work out. Kevin Pelton, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So getting back to the trade market and kind of some wider thoughts, although I guess this one folds into why the Wizards do this, right? You talked about the 2 year versus 1 year. They're going to have boatloads of cap space next year, which will allow them to absorb contracts and hopefully draft capital with them. That's the whole reason they would be absorbing them. Or they can trade for an expensive but good player if they, you know, win the draft lottery next year and want to kickstart things into a higher gear. But the main thing is, like, they're going to make themselves available as a trade landing spot for someone expensive. In the modern league, Kevin, with the second apron, which is basically acting as a hard cap, teams looking to shed salary more often, like, how do you change how you value what the Wizards have done here conceptually? Like, it's obviously specific to the Wizards, but, like, the concept of what they're pushing for here.
Yeah, I think one of the things we're still wrapping our mind around is, like, what's the cost of dumping salary at this point? And that's a tough equation because you just sort of don't know, you know, how much in the league do teams consider a player overpaid? I mentioned that Terrence Mann deal that the Nets made yesterday, where they got the number 22 pick in this year's draft for taking Terrence Mann 3 years left at $15.5 million. Like, that's an overpay for Terrence Mann. I didn't like it when the Hawks gave up second round picks to get him for Bogdan Bogdanovic at the deadline from the Clippers. But, like, Terrence Mann is clearly a useful player. If he was in free agency, you know, would it be $10 million a year that he would get on a similar deal? $8 million, somewhere in that range. So we're talking like 15 to 21 million they got a first round pick to get off of. And, you know, that's, I don't think the value is going to be that great for Washington or anyone else, you know, looking forward, because Brooklyn was so uniquely positioned in terms of having cap space this summer. And, you know, there weren't a lot of teams that can make a deal like that. But if that's the value and you're the Wizards and you're sitting there looking at, you know, 80 million or whatever the number is, I haven't even really looked closely at what the number might be for cap space next summer, and you know, the equivalent in terms of taking on long-term contracts using these expiring deals at the deadline, like that's a lot of picks you can accumulate. And that's the one thing, is so far I think it's more been about kind of cleaning things up for Washington than necessarily accumulating these big time assets. Although obviously they did get, you know, several first round picks last year and then ended up with AJ Johnson to give them another 2024 first round pick.
Is there anybody, I don't know if you've gotten ahead on this work yet, and if so, we can just keep it moving. I'll ask you my last question. But is there someone or someones that you kind of see as a target of like, ooh, that's a hot spot that teams are looking at around the league where a player, they're probably going to want to get off that player a year from now? Or is it just, is the lesson of the NBA finals and these NBA playoffs that who the hell knows, because we don't know who might get hurt or what, you know, team might surprise us, or in the Pacers case, both?
Yes, exactly. Indiana is, I think, a team that you'll look at, because if they re-sign Miles Turner, they'll push into the luxury tax. And it was one thing for them to start the season in the tax with Tyrese Halliburton healthy and knowing that you've got a chance to go to the finals again. I think it's going to be much tougher for them to justify now. I still think, you know, you need Miles Turner as part of this group long-term, you know, so... Is that Obi Toppin? Is that Benedict Mathurin that they ended up having to shed? Kind of depends where the Turner contract comes in. But that's a team, you know, I'm definitely keeping my eye on between now and the 2026 trade deadline. You know, as you said, yeah, I mean, we knew Boston, something was likely to happen with Drew Holiday, given the size of his contract and the size of the luxury tax bill that they were staring at. But you know, we didn't know that it was going to be as extreme as what we've already seen from Boston. And, you know, based on what my colleague Shams Charani reported last night, it sounds like they're still taking calls on Jaylen Brown and Derek White. So there's still maybe more to come. Phoenix is then the obvious other team that everyone's going to look at. They want to do it right now, I think. So, you know, the expiring contracts from Washington may not be as valuable, but, you know, they're still a team that at this point is over the second apron. And, you know, it doesn't really make much sense for, and they've got a mismatched roster now where they've got these, you know, multiple shooting guards. So, you know, plenty more to come. But yeah, there's going to be teams we just don't necessarily know exactly which ones in a year.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So ending on Phoenix leads to the last question, because the trade that happened, the Poole trade, is a direct descendant, if you will, of the Beal contract and the Beal trade. So if we put the starting point at that, at when the current regime winger Dawkins get here to DC, what have you made of the project and how Washington has dug themselves out of that hole and how they've set themselves up while acknowledging that they have done next to no winning on the court so far?
I mean, I wrote the other day that I think patience is the most valuable commodity in the modern NBA. And, you know, the Wizards for a long period of time were among the franchises that exhibited no patience. And it's the reason they got in this hole in the first place. And they have been very patient for the last few years and I think done well. And, you know, I think the one thing I would say about this group is they have not yet been able to hit a home run. If you look at, you know, the way that Oklahoma City got set up, the way that Houston got set up, you know, they hit home runs via trade that were able to facilitate the young rosters that they've built. And Washington hasn't done that yet. There hasn't been we're getting three first round picks for this guy. The only guy they got multiple first round picks for, if I'm remembering correctly, is Denny Avdia. And frankly, if you look at that a year later, as you know, as that happened on the night of the draft, they didn't get enough for Denny Avdia. I think it would take many more first round picks to acquire Avdia a year later, as well as he played in Portland. But they have hit a lot of singles, maybe some doubles. They're continuing to you know, stack together base runners. I think eventually that's going to pay off, especially if they are able to hit that home run at some point through the draft, which you know, would either require this year's number six pick being much better than we expected, or some lottery luck next year, given that didn't work out for them this year. But they have undone the damage now. They're in a they basically have the cleanest cap sheet in the league, because even Brooklyn has some long-term contracts on their books to go along with all the cap space this summer. And, you know, now they're in the position, I think, to really start making some more favorable trades, as opposed to being forced to trade from more of a position of weakness.
Right. And that's the thing about that Oklahoma City rebuild. It doesn't happen without Paul George and the leverage they had over the Clippers because of the Kawhi Leonard factor. And that gets them Shea, and you hit the ground running. The Wizards, they didn't have any assets really to trade. They had an expiring Kristaps Porzingis, who they didn't have. It was like, we do the deal or we lose him for nothing. It was Beal who had the no trade clause. So they were really backed into a corner there. And obviously they did their best with Kyle Kuzma, and you know, obviously, I think they probably in hindsight would have rather traded him last summer than they did at the deadline, but, you didn't know that was going to happen. So it's a tough league, Kevin Pelton. So that's what I've heard. It's tough to win. Kevin Pelton writing about it all, ESPN.com. He'll have trade grades for any other deals that go down, as well as draft grades as well after tonight and tomorrow. Kevin, always appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Kevin Pelton with us here on the Hoffman Show. And one thing that I'm listening back to the end of that conversation with Kevin, again, I was able to chat with him a little earlier today before coming down here to Wizards Draft HQ. One thing listening back to that I think is so striking is, like, the Denny thing is tough because he was really excellent for Portland in the second half of the season. And maybe he would command, if Desmond Bain is worth five, maybe he would command three or four first-round picks based off of what he, you know, did in Portland and the contract he's on and all of that stuff. But when they traded him, he was also a guy who had never scored 15 points a game. And, like, he averaged that in the second half of the year, and that barely got him over 15 a game for the year in Portland. So while he played very well and the trajectory seems very good, what happens next year over the full year? How much does it drive winning? Like, that's still very up for debate when it comes to Denny Avdia. But outside of Denny, and look, what I was going to say too is, like, you got that. Kuz probably traded 6 months too late. Maybe Denny's traded 6 months too early. And you just hope that, like, those aren't the margins. But it's just, by and large, I don't think this group has swung and missed at all. And you can only swing at the pitches that come at you. And I think this is the hardest part of figuring out, like, what the path forward for this Washington team is, and why I, you know, I endorse what they're doing, but also acknowledge that it very much could fall flat, is you just have to get lucky in this league. Like, even the teams that you're like, oh, wow, well, the Pacers and Halliburton, and that's even to some extent a bad example, or actually maybe it's the ultimate example. They didn't realize the Kings didn't realize what they had in Halliburton. But also, 10 teams could have taken Tyrese Halliburton. So you have to get lucky that you're the team that the guy falls to, that you've identified, and then you have to develop it all right. Then he's got to stay healthy. Then this, and then you have to surround him. And, like, there's a lot of steps to the process to be really, really good in the NBA. And, you know, getting a pick right for Washington tonight at 6 will go a long way, but right might not mean the superstar. Right might mean the eventual third guy on the title team. And how do you get the next two? Like, that's the key. And that is the mystery, like Kevin said, that they haven't been able to solve yet. But I also don't know that they've missed an opportunity to do that. So we can acknowledge both things, that they have not achieve the thing that you need to achieve to be a serious contender, but they also have not really had the opportunity, because in the draft where they picked second, there were guys that would barely be scratching the top 10 this year available. And in the draft where they probably should have been, or they had the second best odds, they wind up finishing or getting the sixth pick, and we'll see what they do with that this evening. That's the tough tough luck of the NBA. But you have to also, you know, luck, you know, it doesn't mean anything if you're not ready for it. And so they're still in the getting ready for it phase, it appears. Perhaps they get lucky tonight and the sixth pick turns into the, you know, an all-star player and a centerpiece for a competitive team in the future. And we'll look back on June 25th, 2025 is the day that it all started. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are also seeing a rebuild, of course, with the Mystics. That one's farther along, and they've got some excellent young players, Kiki Iriafin, Sonia Citron, and somehow Shakira Austin, a former top pick, is almost forgotten for a hot second. It's like, ah, well, she's hurt all the time. Oh, and then she came back. She finally got healthy. She's been balling for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, since being reinserted into the starting lineup, so much so that she won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and we're going to talk to her about it all next on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.